All right, this is a special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Groveland Community Services District on December 14th, 2018. It's 9 a.m. and we call meeting to order. Pledge allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of board members. Robert Swat is present. John Armstrong.
Here.
Spencer Edwards.
I'm here.
Janice Spakowski.
Here.
And Nancy Mora.
Present.
So all five directors are present. That is a quorum. First item is to approve the order of agenda, which I will so move.
I'll second.
Moving seconded to approve the order of agenda. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? There is unanimous approval of the agenda. Item two is public comment. I'm going to abbreviate my usual spiel here since we only have two members of the public. Does anyone want to make a comment as a member of the public on a non-agenda item? Very good. Public comment is closed. And we move on to item three. Adoption of a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Groveland Community Services authorizing the Groveland Community Services District to apply for the California Climate Investments Department Forestry and Fire Protection Fire Prevention Grant. Securely at the title of the resolution, in the amount of $3,000 for a fuels reduction project known as Jones Hill, and to authorize the general manager to sign the grant agreement and any related documents.
We just wanted to make sure it was all there.
It sure is. I mean, that could be the whole resolution.
Pretty close. I have to tell you, I really appreciate the effort that we're seeing from the department in finding these funding sources and moving them forward and committing the time also to put these types of things together, because in many cases we would be paying someone additionally to do this, and we don't have a grant writer on staff, and they ask. When it came up and we said, no, we don't have a grant writer, and they jump right in and get going on it. You know, I'm not sure exactly how it all happened, but it's much appreciated because I think this is step one in a multi-year, multi-faceted approach to make this community safer. So I'll let you jump right in, dude.
Okay, you guys have any questions right off the bat?
Just be true.
Honestly, it's a good deal.
What a great idea.
Yeah,
it's
awesome. Now,
I've been saying
I mean, according to the one map you have in here, I mean, it's right up around here.
It is right.
It's right, and that's Jones Hill right there. I mean, right. He's going to be burning all around here.
So the intention is through the grant program, we're asking for the 135th. We're asking the state for $130,000. Which would include, the work is going to be a shaded fuel break. We're going to build a small horseshoe around the GCSD, utilizing the property lines with a shaded fuel break. The monies requested encompass the CEQA, a bid to go out to contract for mastication, and then some administrative costs that go along with that. So we felt that it was a great program, a great opportunity. It gives us additional opportunity to tag on to other or segment to other fuel breaks that are around the community. If you're not aware, we have several fuel breaks built a box around the community of Groveland and PML. So between the state, the feds, PML, and other SRA fundings, we've helped build a box around the community. And if you look, just this past year, BLM improved Tip Top. We're currently working with the Crooks Ranch for a VMP project that's out there. Earlier in the year, we did a burn at Gookin's property out there on Boitano. Off to the east, last year we just finished up White's Gulch, which ties on the backside of PML there, and then Sick and Garotti, Wagner Ridge is our box on the south there. So this would allow us to segment basically the Crooks Ranch. So if there is something that comes from the Tuolumne River Canyon or from our property going outside, I said, we don't want either one of those, but this gives us that additional built-in fuel break that we can build off of and go from there. And additionally, protect the infrastructure and the community and assist firefighting.
So actually, I do have one. Is the funding for this, or some of it coming from the NDRC grant?
No. This is a state-funded project through the Department of Forestry and Fire Protection.
Okay, so where is that? Is any of that money being spent around here, or is that further out? The resiliency grant?
That's a different grant, and they're, Chief Murphy's working with the county for the grant, I guess the relocation portion of that.
Yeah.
So he was working with the county on that, and I don't have the specifics on that.
I just wondered if any, wasn't aware, I hadn't seen anything indicating that any of that money had yet started to be spent.
Yeah, we have not either, so. Chief Murphy has not pushed it anywhere else. So. It is a reimbursable grant, so you know, we need to, there'd be, have to be a process. I'm anticipating the first portion of this, if the grant is awarded, it will be around March, April time. So we'll be at the end of the fiscal year. The first part that we'd like to complete, and I'll be working with Jan and Lou on this, is we're going to have a CEQA completed first, so it'll be the first part. And then after that, the anticipation of work to be started probably around November, through the bid process and timing and everything. So we're just asking, looking forward to you guys to apply for this, and we're here for support. And if you guys need anything else, just let us know.
So just, since it's reimbursable, one of the things that we're doing here is we're agreeing that we'll pay for it and then we'll get reimbursed. So that's just what we're approving.
The hill that's below Wagner Ridge and all that, that's mostly dead on the 120, old 120.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to clean that up? Because the fuel break's great up on Wagner Ridge. I've been up there. I've seen what they've done.
What's that, up the old 120?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then if it crests that, then you're right back into dead. And that whole side that whole area in there is dead.
Yeah, so
all dead.
The county offers through their program, because they declared the state of emergency
right.
For the county, and it's their main focus right now is roadways and structures around the
right.
Residences. The other alternative would be PG&E. They've should have felled some trees, the hazard trees that are in that area.
Yeah.
They're just standing trees. There's so many of them. It's just money well spent. They want to, first work on egress and ingress. And public safety is number one.
Yeah.
And we totally understand with the amount of those trees. We can look at some training opportunities, but it's on private land, so that's the hardest
that's
part.
That's the problem.
That's
you
the
know,
hardest part.
I've worked for fire districts, and we always had ordinances that you had to keep your stuff up, and we wouldn't have let that stuff go.
Yeah.
And I think that we should do an ordinance for our area that makes people cut down dead trees and dying vegetation.
It has to be within our district, though.
Right.
But it is. The fire district is fairly large.
But if you go,
if you go
up Merrill,
yeah, I didn't think about that.
Like I'm the last house in the fire district on
That's
Merrill.
That's a good point.
And
it is a
there's
good
dead
point.
Trees
I mean,
everywhere.
We can't really do anything about it today, but bring it up at a meeting. That's
just going out Ferretti at the end of Ferretti there.
Exactly.
There where the fire was last time. Where can we get information for the newer board members or newer members to the community where the existing fire breaks are?
You
talk about
I
a box around
that.
The community,
yeah,
I would love
it.
To know.
Yeah, I can provide that some
okay.
information. We run through, we have a SWIFT team. It's called SWIFT. It's Southwest Interagency. It pretty much entails Groveland, Moccasin, and there are Mariposa up on the northern portion of them, and we share a lot of that information. We do have mapping on that, so I'd be glad to share some maps with you.
That would be wonderful.
And then I can give you a copy of the unit fire plan, which describes what we have here, and not only in the Groveland side, but Twin Heart and Sonora in that area, and actually the whole unit. So,
wow, cool. Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of hard work and effort that gets put into that, and some history that a lot of history. That into it, so.
Well, I know the county came up with that plan where they come on your property and cut trees down for you and all that, but when you sign that, you give them permission to go on your property at any time and do whatever they want. And
right.
Yeah, I take down
everything. I'm not sure they got a lot of people to sign.
No, they didn't, and that's the whole thing.
Don't get female people were talking about it.
And yeah, and that's the whole thing. That was really weak of them to do that. It should have been a one time. We'll come on your property, clean up the trees, and we'll be gone.
Yeah. Right.
I'd have signed it, you know, but I took out every time a tree dies, I take it out. But a lot of people, I mean, I understand there's people 30, 40 acres and you know, hundreds of acres, and they can't take every darn tree out, you know. But if we could just at least get them on the ground.
Yeah. The right of entry permit's very subjective.
So. Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah. So, but that's part of the agreement, it was written
to protect the county against anything possible.
Oh, yeah, if you drop a tree on your house, it's your fault.
It made it a little hostile.
You know, I'm sorry, but...
but we digress.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll move that we approve resolutions 4218, a resolution authorizing Groveland Community Services District to apply for California Climate Investments Department of Forestry and Fire Protection Fire Prevention Grant in the amount of $130,000 for a fuels reduction project known as Jones Hill, and authorize the general manager to sign the grant agreement and any related documents.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to approve resolution 4218, which I'm not going to read again.
Oh, come on, it's your last time, Bob.
Yeah, come on.
I did it once. That's enough. As previously declared, is there any discussion?
I just have hopefully a quick question. On the, and I'm sorry we haven't had the opportunity to communicate, on the budget development, do you know, I can't get to the guidelines fast enough to know if there's flexibility. In the event that we have underestimated the cost, the bids come in higher or something, do they have the ability to increase it? Do we have a contingency in there?
So we don't have the ability to increase, to my knowledge. So I just reading through that. What I've asked is, I've heard various prices, and I've asked our local unit forester what the average cost would be for per acre for mastication. He said roughly $1,000 per acre. Mm-hmm. It should be $700 to $1,000 per acre. So I went with that, you know, to build the cost estimate for the amount. If we're there's other options that we can utilize. It's not necessarily used. That's built off of a 300-foot swath of mastication. We can downsize it if there's a need for. If you don't have enough funding for that, and the other part would be possibly budget in the future for the additional cost of the EP.
If I read the plan correctly, this is spread over, going to happen over 3 years.
Yes.
So we kind of have time to worry about course correction as it goes along.
The thing is, once they award the grant, if they award it for a certain amount, and I'm just, would the board be willing in their motion to, because the resolution itself, if we could either allow for increases in that, that I may be able to justify in the next, 3 days or whatever it is, but before we get it turned in on the 19th, or I don't believe there's a rationale or reason to have the amount in the resolution. It's just authorizing the application. The application would be a budget within the maximum allowable grant, because I'm not sure if there is the county, is anybody doing any planning under this grant? I know it came out and it's such a short turnaround. you know, because there's a significant chunk of this, for evacuation plans and mitigation plans and those kind of things. Do you know if they're...
The county put in for a piece of equipment.
Okay.
So that's a specific cost. So,
okay.
You know, that's the only thing I can say.
I understand what you're saying, Pete, you know, but I think, this is really a very important thing to do, to get a good fire break around this community. And I think it would justify us saying that, you know, if it's some increases, maybe we need to absorb those, because this is a chance to get a lot of work done and, you know, really bolster the defense of this community. And that's, it's part of what we do.
And my goal, and the district has done work in the past. Mm-hmm. So we've sent hand crews out here, and Lou has money budgeted in the accounts for the hand crews to come out and do X amount of days worth of work. As you can tell, pretty much from this portion of the gate, this gate right here, across towards the railroad grade where it starts to go up into the ditch and up in there, that's looking relatively good. If we get awarded the grant, my priority is to start up on top and then start working down. This is probably going to be the last piece here, and this will take up a nice little, a small chunk of the.
Just on Pete's point about the dollar amount. So we have the only place where the $130,000 appears is in the title of the resolution. Perhaps that wasn't absolutely necessary, but that number, we're going to apply for this grant.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to apply for $130,000
yes,
grant. That's going to be before we have bids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's got to be, that's what we're going to apply for. If it turns out that doesn't work out when we go through the bidding process, we'll have to have another meeting and figure out what we're going to do about it.
The thing is, the only thing that I'm asking is possibly just removing the amount.
There's no reason for it to be there,
and as long as there's agreement on the part of the board that we're looking at doing the fuel break, I'll go over the budget with Jude, and we'll make sure that is for what we're doing here.
I will amend my motion to suggest that, or to say that. In this approval, we will remove from the title of the resolution the phrase in the amount of $130,000.
Yep.
I'll second. Just because there's no, I'm not even sure what the binding effect of it would be being in the title only and not actually being in the resolution anyhow, but we can take it out of the title. So are we okay with that?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. So any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So we have approval of Resolution 4218 with the modification to the title.
Okay. I'll give you a call right afterwards.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, moving on to item 2, which is discuss and consider approval of and connection Blue Cross Health Plan to replace the existing of California Plan for District employees for the upcoming calendar year of 2019.
Okay, so every, as probably many are aware, medical plans run calendar years. They don't run like we do with our fiscal year. So at this time of year, prior to January 1st, Adam Seuss, with Seuss Insurance, who brokers all the district's health and ancillary benefits, we get together once all of the insurances post what their increases are going to be for the plans, what other plans are available, if our plan's even going to exist, because a lot of the time they'll just eliminate the plan that we currently have. So this year, our current plan does exist. Currently, it will be increasing, the difference is the max out-of-pocket for a family will be increasing from $14,000 to $15,100, and it also will be increasing by 9%. So Adam, upon reviewing other options available to the district, there is an Anthem or Blue Cross plan. Sorry, I get the blues and the blues always mixed up. And I wish they would have changed the color. An Anthem Blue Cross health plan that is also a 9%, that would also represent a 9% increase to the district. However, the calendar year deductible is reduced to $750 compared to the existing $1,200. And the max out-of-pocket for a family would remain at $14,000 as compared to the $15,100. So it ends up working out, it's the same expense to the district, yet it's a better benefit for staff. And one of the things that we really try to do, you know, nowadays medical plans, you know, back in the day it was, you know, $500 deductible, $2,500 out of pocket, $5,000 for a family. And they've gotten just really, really, really expensive after the Affordable Care Act took place. And so one of the things that we run into a lot are staff members, you know, when the deductible for something, if something is subject to the deductible, $1,200 is a lot of money for a family to fork out. And so $750 is still a lot of money, but it's a little bit more manageable. So one thing I really try to do is spend some significant time trying to find what's going to work best for the employees and what's also going to fit within the district's budget and that is also in compliance with the district's agreement in the MOU. So with that said, the bargaining unit has met. We actually had a little meeting this morning at 8 o'clock where Cease came up. He explained the plan changes to the bargaining unit. They took a vote, and they voted yes in our acceptance with moving to this new plan. So if the board votes for this, this would be the change. We would be changing providers, and this would be the new medical plan for staff in the upcoming calendar year.
Okay. So I had sent you an email yesterday. I don't know if you saw it.
I have not.
It's kind of late. But what is the actual premium in dollars?
It for the district total?
For these plans. Just so we know, just so the board has an idea of what kind of money we're talking about here.
I'd have to go pull his report. I didn't pull that, the actual premium, annual premium for the district.
Or the premium per employee.
So it's different. So because we're not on a like a group-based plan where, like a lot of plans, if you're with a PERS or like SDRMA.
Or this is still individual.
This is still individual tailored. Because we have such a young staff that it's cheaper for us to go by.
Well, I thought we'd gone away from that.
No, we have not gone away from that. Okay. So it varies based on everybody's each employee and their family or dependents case. It varies across the board.
Okay, well, in that case, what is the total district? This my other question, because I couldn't remember, this will also affect those retirees who are still getting post-employment health benefits, right?
This does not affect those retirees.
So what plan are they on?
They are on a plan. It's a very convoluted situation, and it's one that has been very difficult for me to understand as I've been here, but as the attorneys have somehow interpreted in the past, when they retired with the medical plan that was existing at the district at the time. So Seuss, every year with all of our retirees, somehow try to find a fit or something comparable to the plan that they had at the time that they retired. So it's different for every single retiree.
Probably more expensive too, because most of them had lower deductibles and lower.
Most of our retirees have moved to a Medicare plan, so that's significantly cheaper. But yes, ones that are on older plans has a significant expense, and it's something that. It's an issue that I've looked at a lot because the way I interpret the MOU and the way it reads, it says that they will receive the same health care plan as from the department from which they retired. So to me that means as the department plan changes, their plans would also change with that. But from the past with previous general manager John Sterling, who took it to the attorney, was saying no, that's not how that's interpreted. So that's where we are with that.
Jeez.
Have we asked the attorney since?
No, it's not. No, and this is something that I did also, I've mentioned with Pete in the past that it's something I would really like to try to look at or maybe find alternatives, because there is, I mean, most of the people are on Medicare. There's a couple that will still be on for a few years, but it's pretty significant costs, and see what kind of options are available for us to maybe mitigate or minimize that cost into the future. So it's been on my radar for a while now, and it's been, and Pete and I have discussed. So,
but when they turn 65, they're done, right?
They go on to Medicare.
They go on to supplemental.
But the district pays for the supplemental plan.
Pardon me?
The district pays for the supplemental plan.
But that's much cheaper.
Well,
that's like $200.
Yeah,
like $200.
It's way cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing we're not doing that anymore.
No, and all the existing people that you have will have to work for a very long time anyway, till they get to the what qualifies you to retire from CalPERS, right, to even collect that benefit who were in before the MOU changed.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't at the tip of your tongue have the total amount of the premium.
I can get it for you. I'm sorry, I didn't see your email, and I had the meeting this morning, and so I just haven't even logged on to my computer.
Wasn't it like $14,000?
It was $16,000 is the monthly for all district employees.
But I mean, it's not this new Anthem plan is not going to go up anymore.
Well, it's going to go up 9%.
Well, it's
right,
going up again.
Everything else is going up 9%. So I mean,
it's going. You would be obligated. The district has the MOU, so no matter what. The district
right.
would stay with the old plan,
yes,
which you'd still
right,
be paying 9%.
Right.
So.
Right.
So I mean, is it really? I guess my question was, is it? I mean, 9%. So it's very close in what the total is. The 9%. I mean, I'm always dubious about when people say 9% or 9%. Because that could just, what is the actual difference?
9% of what?
I can get that number for you if you'd like. I just don't have it right now.
Well, you would just easily take the total of the plan that we're paying now and add 9%. That's
well, except
it.
It's probably not exactly 9%, just because.
Yeah, but all the plans are going up the same.
Yeah.
If they're all going up the same, we're going to be paying that money no matter what. So
exactly.
It makes sense to go with the Blue Cross,
yeah,
Anthem Blue Shield,
yes,
and do the thing, because it's going to cost us the same, and it's better for our employees, so let's just do it. I move.
If you're just interested in that information, Bob, I can get that for you. I know what you mean. 9%, there may be a couple dollars difference.
I'm just curious to know what the difference is.
Sure.
And all the employees before?
We had 3 employees who were absent, but majority rules, and every single person who was present, part of the bargaining unit voted yes.
Those 3 were informed, and they had the side-by-side comparison, and they were all experienced, and they actually checked with their physicians and all that. And
okay, so the guys had this information in time to make an informed decision.
Yeah, they
just
weren't here for the vote this morning.
Okay,
so,
good.
Cool.
Thank
but
you.
If they were guaranteed, we probably would have had it 100% across the gym.
Okay.
That isn't going to cause them any network problems.
No.
No.
That's what was going to be my one question.
No in-network problems.
So that's good.
It's just did a very, he came up this morning and he answered a lot of questions. And no,
yeah.
Everybody who's
His
Cross.
His dad used to do the insurance.
Yes. And Blue Shield and Blue Cross are the same provider, same. So it's pretty much identical with little minor variations and, like, you know, the prescription level tiers and stuff like that.
Cool.
I move that we approve the Anthem Blue Cross Health Plan to replace the existing Blue Shield of California plan for the district employees for calendar year 2019.
And I second the motion.
Okay. Moved and seconded to approve Anthem Blue Cross Health Plan to replace the existing Blue Shield of California plan for employees for upcoming calendar year 2019. Any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So we have unanimous approval of that item as well. I move we adjourn.
I'll second.
Move and second we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I should have abstained just once. okay, we are adjourned at 9:29.